A reading from God's Word from 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse, the Word of God for the people of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in His great mercy He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But these have come your way so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add His blessings to this, the reading of His Word. Some years ago, when Christmas Day happened to fall on a Sunday, the St. Petersburg Times did a special edition of the newspaper that they had never done before. What made that day's edition different is it contained two front pages. One front page was filled with what we might call the same old type of news. Tension in the Middle East. Another local politician who had been caught with his hand in the cookie jar. A shooting on the scruffy side of town that left several folk dead and several families reeling. The entire front page, at least that section, that portion of the front page, was filled with nothing but what we might call a litany of bad news. The other front page was entirely different. It contained nothing but good news. A new business coming to the Tampa Bay area that would be bringing with it all manner of new jobs. A story of a particular police precinct that had decided to place Santa Claus to poor, impoverished people in their area. An entire list of Christmas wishes from ordinary citizens in the St. Pete community. The contrast could not be more striking. One front page, nothing but bad news. The other front page, nothing but good news. So guess which front page garnered the greater number of eyeballs. You'd be surprised. We have, as a people, become so numbed by the bad news that comes at us day in and day out. It's hard for us to attend to the good. To the good that God is doing all around us, everywhere, at every moment. What we clearly need is someone who can change our outlook on life, an agent of newness, as it were, who might guide us in a more hopeful direction, a direction that connects us to all of the blessings that God desires to do in us. Our text for the morning speaks to that agent of newness, the one whom God has raised up to deliver us into the good, hopeful future that God has for us to know. 1 Peter is a letter written by that most famous disciple of Jesus, penned for a people who were undergoing significant persecution. They were, for the most part, relatively new converts to the cause of Jesus Christ, and it did not take them long to come to the realization that following Jesus was not as easy as they might have imagined it to be. And so Peter felt inspired by the Holy Spirit to offer them a word of encouragement that might sustain them in the midst of life's trials and tribulations, might point them past the painful present toward the good future that God had in store for them, and the hope that God had sent them in that interim time through His presence made known through Jesus the Christ. And so you note how Peter conveys this word of encouragement. He speaks about how in the mercies of God, the great mercies of God, as Peter describes them, God has given us what Peter calls a new birth into a living hope through what God has done in sending Jesus to be the means to our salvation. An entirely new way of attending to life, one that is marked by this inexpressible, joyful hope that God has awakened in us that makes all the difference in our everyday experience. I read this text and I almost laugh out loud. A living hope, Peter calls it. What, pray tell, other kind of hope is there? Is there such a thing as a dead hope? And yet, we look around us at the outlook that so many people have as to their present, to their future, and it doesn't appear as if they have anything or anyone to build their lives upon outside of themselves. The message of Advent is that contrary to all appearances, things are not coming apart at the seams. Everything is not doom and gloom. Yes, life is difficult. No way we can minimize that. Yes, people are flawed and they will disappoint us. And yes, at times it seems as if the way things are will be the way things ever shall be, except for the good news of the gospel that God has drawn near to us in the Bethlehem baby. God has come to be with us in the midst of our painful present, to see us through these calamitous times, to the good time that is yet to come, the time when God will send His Son yet again to consummate his kingdom purposes and to join us together in a community of the redeemed, one in which the circle of God's beloved will never be unbroken. Today, the first Sunday of Advent. And even though in Mountain Brook Baptist Church we have been celebrating Advent for quite the number of years, sometimes I wonder, do we really understand what the Advent season is all about? It's a time of preparation. It's not a little Christmas. It's not even an advanced Christmas. It's a time to get ready for the celebration of the God who came to be with us in the Bethlehem baby and the God who is coming again to make the kingdoms of this world the kingdom of our Lord and Christ. I liken the Advent celebration to a divine save the date. Are you familiar with that term? For many of us, save the date is a relatively new term. I can remember years ago when a couple was getting ready to be married, they would simply send invitations to those they wanted to come and join them in the celebration of their love. That's all that you got, was an invitation from a couple soon to be married. Not anymore. If you have children or grandchildren who have reached the point where they are ready to commit themselves to God and to one another, there's now an additional step that is required. It is called a save the date notice. A year, 9 months in advance, a couple will send not the formal invitation, but a prepare yourself for the announcement that is coming, because they know. People are busy today. They're busier than they've ever been. And if folk don't receive sufficient notice in advance, there may be other things that will cause a conflict with their wedding date. And so now you get these notices in the mail, just like I do, save the date, Advent. If you really want to understand the significance of this season, it is a divine notice. Save the date. Someone is coming. And when you set your heart on the hope of his coming, regardless of how difficult this present moment may be, know that the fact that God has something more in store for you can sustain you today, and it will save you in the days to come. I've told you before about a group that I meet with, a group of pastors, a peer group. We have been meeting since we first graduated from seminary. We've been together now over 35 years. And it's been interesting to me to see how over the course of that period of time our conversations have evolved. They've changed dramatically. When we were young and we were brash and we were bold, we were going to bring in the kingdom. I mean, we had all these harebrained ideas. We were pushing the envelope. We were throwing stuff against the wall to see what stuck. I mean, we were bouncing ideas off of one another. 35 years later, we still do a little bit of that. But as the years have passed, age and infirmity have crept in, the conversations have deepened. Wasn't too many years ago that one in the group shared with the rest of us a recent prostate cancer diagnosis, one that caught him totally by surprise. I mean, that was something, as a pastor, that you helped other people deal with. And the fact of the matter is that, as he shared when the doctor broke the news to him, he said, "It was as if I heard the doctor telling me news about someone else." And when it became apparent that surgery was in my future, I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And I began to look for other people who had walked down that dark road who might be of some encouragement to me. He spoke about how one person immediately came to mind who had received that diagnosis and was not in any way outwardly, apparently devastated by it. And so he went to this church member whom he loved and trusted and said, "I've just received this diagnosis." And I couldn't help but notice that when you shared with me yours and the peace that seemed to come over you, the fact that you were not visibly anxious or uncertain in any way. I know I'm your pastor, but tell me, how did you receive that news with any manner of hope? And my friend said the church member just looked at me and he smiled. He called my name and he said, "Here's how it is. God has taken care of me all my life. He's been there with me in the good times and the not so good times. And I faced that moment in the confidence and the hope that God would be with me until I died." And then he didn't stop. "God's always been with me. God will be with me until I die. And then God will be with me and take care of me for all eternity." I don't know what you'd call that. I'd call that a living hope. A reason to face whatever in life might come our way in the confidence that God has drawn near to be with us in the person of Jesus the Christ. He has drawn near to be with us in the darkest places of life to take care of us. And in Jesus who is coming again, God has promised to take care of us for all eternity. So let us, as God's people, as followers of Jesus, sound forth that good news in this season of the year, because all around us, people are only hearing bad news. And let us point them to Jesus, who represents God's presence with us in the dark places of life. And the God who has promised to be with us for all eternity. That earth may receive her King, being filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, one birthed by a living hope, until the day comes when we receive the goal of our faith, which is nothing less than the salvation of our souls through Jesus, in whom we live and move and have our being. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for how your presence sustains us in the midst of life's trials and tribulations. There are some here today who need to receive a message of hope, one that will point them to the good future that you have for them to know and will grant them the confidence that they go into that future with Jesus at their side. Help us as your people to live in such a way that everything that we're about points to the good news of our faith, that others may come to know Jesus as well and experience the hope that you have for all to know through Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.